Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Excited. I thought I won a big award and didn't know it. Oh, Michael won that award. I am Michael Del Giorno, not Michael Savage. It is my hope and my prayer that somewhere Michael is resting, relaxing, refreshing that brilliant, passionate brain of his, but I suspect he's not. My name is Michael Del Giorno. I come to you from Nashville, Tennessee. Now, for those of you that watch the television show Nashville, it's just like that, only completely different. That is Hollywood's immorality and sick minds using our city as a set. But filling in for Michael Savage is actually a very personal, unique honor. As a program director, I was one of his first affiliates. As a fan and a card-carrying member of the Savage Nation, I find him to be one of the most passionate, brilliant voices for truth in America today. As Michael has often taught, really talk radio at its best is the last bastion of truth if people are willing to speak the truth. And Michael has never compromised his courage, his brilliance, his passion, and his ability to use teachable moments to give people the history and civics that they have lacked or the government schools have failed to give them has always been appreciated by me. And so I tell you, it is a real honor to fill in for him today, and I trust he's resting. I have often talked about things like borders, language, and culture. I kind of do it from a different perspective. I kind of look at the world in three different wars: a cultural war, which Michael gets and teaches brilliantly, an economic war, and a military war. And I actually warn people that the outcome of the cultural war and the economic war will play the defining role in the outcome of the military war. And so at some time in life, you have to go beyond symptoms like a good doctor does and get to the real disease and the real problem and cause. And that's something that I think Michael Savage has done better than anybody in talk radio, always has and always will. And we're going to do that today. The phone number throughout the show, the same, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And I want to start with what I know Michael would have began with, which is the breaking news of an assassination. Now, this is a powerful, intriguing story, not just for what happened, and I can give you an explanation from my perspective, but what might be coming next. So you have a Russian ambassador to Turkey assassinated in Turkey. And we actually have the audio, believe it or not, of the assassination caught on tape. And I don't know if you've brushed up on your Arabic. But in terms of solving this crime, immediately you're going to hear the cop who kills him begin to shout Aleppo revenge and Allah Akbar, which is our God is great. Now you put these two things together and you don't have to be a beat cop to quickly put together that after the kinds of protests that have been taking place in Turkey, quite frankly, a proxy war that has been going on with Russian support of Syria as well as Iran and Shia support and a sectarian difference between Shia and Sunnis, what the motive of this was. As you know, political correctness always plays a strong role in this. Now, if this had been a white Presbyterian, we'd have his waist size by now. But it is clearly this was politically motivated. This was religiously, ideologically, sectarian motivated. But if you listen very closely, not only will you hear the shots of Andrei Karlov being assassinated, but what the gunman was shouting afterwards, which points to the motive. The audio clip. All right, so Russia's ambassador killed in a gun attack while visiting an art exhibition, which wasn't far from where the ambassadors live and work. The attack came days after protests in Turkey over Russia's role in Syria, although Moscow and Turkey are now working closely together to evacuate citizens in Aleppo. Clearly, the treatment of those in Aleppo is a part of this motivation. According to the Turkish media reports, the police officer who shot Andrei Karlov recited the message in Arabic that you could hear him screaming in the background. And this kind of combination of Aleppo revenge and Allah Akbar, kind of unofficial anthems, if you will, of the rebel group al-Nusra. So, you know, that being a Syrian branch of al-Qaeda. So I think what's interesting about this assassination is, as it develops, and I was having a conversation with one of Michael's producers off the air. And you know how Michael left the show Friday, right? The Chinese went out, taking control of all waters that they perceive as them, pushing us around, take a drone. And there's nobody really, I mean, I saw one story today where somebody was actually discussing, all right, well, what's going to be the American retaliation? What is going to be the American response? Now, this president, of course, has promised a response to Russia for hacking, of which we haven't seen any single shred of evidence solidifying Putin gave the order and Russia did the hacking. But he has already said, in a time and in a place of our choosing, we will retaliate. But mum's the word on China. And now this ambassador shooting. So to me, the most interesting take on this story is how immediately, and I don't care if you're at home, I don't care if you're in the Pentagon, I don't care if you're in the State Department, I don't care where you are, everybody's going, holy crap, somebody killed a Russian ambassador. It's going to hit the fan. And how do you arrive at that? Now, I don't want to sound like Donald Trump, and you'll begin to say that I have connections to Putin and I have connections to Russia. But obviously, because we know of his track record. I like to explain to people this way. If I come to work one day, let's say I'm in a suit with a tie, and everybody's response is, you got a job interview? Did somebody die? Are you going to a funeral? Where are you going? That's because the cumulative exposure to being around me is jeans and a sweatshirt because I'm on the radio and nobody can see me. And if I suddenly come with a suit on, well, somebody's going to suspect differently. So with Barack Obama, the cumulative exposure over 8 years is, I don't know if I disagree with Michael on this one. I think he probably agrees with me. I'm not so certain that Barack Obama has led naively or ignorantly or from behind. I actually think he's led rather flawlessly out in front on behalf of our enemies. Nobody makes that many perfect mistakes like Barack Obama when it comes to foreign policy. But there's a track record of this man being weak, indecisive, and never taking action. Isn't it amazing what a difference Friday is from today, Monday? Friday, nobody went into the weekend saying, I wonder what Barack Obama's going to do to China. Are you kidding me? They just pulled up to one of our boats and stole something? Now, again, my thoughts and my prayers are with Andrei Karlov's family. This guy's at an art exhibition, and he's gunned down, and he's killed. And may I tell you this, too, first and foremost. This person who killed him, though the media will never tell you, did so in an act not of insanity, of devotion. This is their religion. He's following the example of the prophet, the teachings of the prophet, and the commands of prophets. Now, it's influenced, too, by regional sectarian strife. So this guy is literally killing an ambassador and worshiping God as he's doing it. That's the ultimate tragedy. This ambassador is at an art exhibition, and now he's dead. But a side story of this is, it's got everybody saying, and you pondering, and maybe even calling up at 855-400-SAVAGE, well, you know Putin's going to do something. What might he do? Now, I'm a logical, intelligent person because I'm a member of the Savage Nation and I've been taught well by my mentor, Michael Savage. And I can tell you this is going to be played one of two ways, but there is an opportunity. I don't know that Barack Obama in office until January 19th makes that opportunity very possible. But listen, Russia has been very supportive of Syria and Iran and Shia Muslims. I don't have to tell you that the Kurds and the Sunnis don't share that view. All right, so they've taken sides in a sectarian war. And when one side, I mean, I can't tell you and prove to you that this police officer was Sunni, but I think in time you will find out he was. There's going to be a notion to potentially retaliate in Turkey there might be a potential to further its closeness with Syria and Iran and Shia ties. But is there or would there be with the right leader right now that we may or may not have come January 20th, an opportunity to find common ground? You know, Russia's had its dealings with terrorism just as we have. They've dealt with early on the Chechens. They had a bitter fight in Afghanistan. I mean, this could and should, or I ask you, could and should, this be a terrific opportunity to find common ground in a war. So make no mistake about it. Clearly today, if Michael were at work, a top story is in a Russian ambassador being assassinated in Turkey and yelling Aleppo revenge and Allah Akbar in Arabic as he does it. And everybody now holds their breath and wonders, wow, can't imagine what Putin's going to do. And I think you get a glimpse of the difference in leadership. I think we're indicted by the fact that how many of you even thought for a minute, honestly and seriously, that Barack Obama was going to do anything to China for what they did. Difference in leadership, once again exposed, even in this tragedy. To Michelle Obama we go, which is another huge story today. Michelle Obama will appear on the Oprah Winfrey Show. This is the perfect bookend, isn't it, for Michelle? Michelle Obama entered office with her husband, saying for the first time, the election of her husband, for the first time she was proud to be an American. And we were all like flabbergasted. I mean, listen, congratulations. You're going to live in the White House. Your husband's the president of the United States. He'll be a leader of the free world. But are you serious? This is the first time in your life you've ever been proud to be an American? And how does she bookend it? Leaving office. And her husband's leaving, and Hillary's non-election, which would have been an extension of the direction her husband set, is her loss of hope. You know, I always say the only thing left shocking in life is the truth. I subtitled my book with that. You can't apply that any more than to this quote. Now, what you're not going to hear is the beginning of the audio clip, where Oprah gives her a chance to, you know, kind of put into perspective, legacy perspective, how much of your husband's dream of hope and change did he achieve? And with no substance, could she give you any indication specifically of how he has? And where would she go? The doubling of the debt? The doubling of those on food stamps? Millions out of the workforce? Millions more underemployed? Open borders? And then she leaps right into the, almost interrupting herself, because I know Donald Trump was at a rally and said, I don't think she meant this the way it came out. Oh, I do. And I'm going to go beyond symptoms to cause. When we come back, Michelle Obama on the true meaning of hopelessness, America without her husband. And, you know, there were a lot of threats. What is normally a formality. The Electoral College casting its votes, which will later be certified in Washington, D.C., and then executed in the oath of office on January the 20th. A normal formality. All these electors across the nation under attack. Now, this becomes much to do about nothing in terms of how it has played out. And I think by right now, as we're broadcasting live, Donald Trump is just about, by the way of the Electoral College, the 45th president of the United States. But they were casted at state capitals today. They will be certified in Washington January 6th, and they will be executed during the oath of office and the inauguration of Donald Trump as president of the United States. But why do I get a feeling that the anarchy and craziness is a long way from over? We'll explore these, our top three stories of the day. I'm Michael DelGiorno, in for Michael Savage, Dr. Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Live in on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Great Greetings, Savage Nation. I am Michael Del Giorno from Nashville, Tennessee, in for Michael Savage. The phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 400-7282. We were talking about Michelle Obama. Tonight is her big interview with Oprah. It's the big bookend. When her husband was elected, first time she was ever proud to be an American. Really shocked but couldn't impress her before that. And now leaving, she tells Oprah, she knows what the feeling of hopelessness is.
Now we're feeling what not having hope feels like, you know. Hope is necessary. It's a necessary concept. And Barack didn't just talk about hope because he thought it was just a nice slogan to get votes.
Like
I mean,
did.
He and I and so many believe that if you, what else do you have if you don't have hope?
Yeah.
What do you give your kids if you can't give them hope?
Now, I have to tell you, coming up after the break, you got to hear the second clip where she elaborates on kids and when they get bumps and how they look to us to know whether to cry. It hasn't dawned on Michelle Obama what 72% of the American voters and what I think is primarily the reason why Donald Trump went on to become president of the United States. 72% of America thinks her husband was the bump in the head. But you have to imagine the narcissism. But even beyond that, Michelle Obama really believes this. You see, in our country, we've abandoned Judeo-Christian absolute truth in favor of moral relativism, spiritual plurality, the celebration of every culture but of our own, every other intent but our own. And so they have rejected God, his way, his truth, and his life, and they have put this false philosophy in the throne of God. And they just lost the Supreme Court for 15 to 20 years. They just lost the executive branch of government. They don't have control of the legislative side, whether it's the Senate or the House. Trust me, this is really about political ideology, and power is their God, and it's no longer on the throne. They really are hopeless. And it's more than narcissism, and it's more than just the lunacy of liberalism. And you'll catch on to that in part two when we continue on The Savage Nation. 855-4-
Join The Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation from your Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. I am Michael Del Giorno in for Dr. Savage. And it is a thrill and it is an honor. Let me remind you in the new year not to trust Facebook and its fact checkers. Isn't that a joke, by the way? The most guilty parties in all of the election cycle are now going to guard us all for the truth in the future. If there ever was a straw man created, this is it. One little pizza party story, and suddenly this is the biggest crisis in America today. And you know what this is about? The mainstream media. Who thought that they could indoctrinate you, influence you, tell you what to do, tell you what is truth, ignore what is not truth? Oh, this election defeat is as much their ego as it is Hillary Clinton's. And so they've created this straw man. A straw man with a radical solution by the most influential of gatekeepers, Facebook. You know what this is really about, right? Applying a scarlet letter to stories that they don't agree with. We've abandoned absolute truth for moral relativism. Who's going to sit in a room and decide what is fake, what is not? And how much of that fake news will extend to, well, things we don't want you really listening to. Now, Michael's taught you too well. You know what media bias is. And they do it every day by the things that they talk about and the things that they ignore. The angles they choose to explore and the angles they choose to ignore. The people they talk to, the people they refuse to talk to, the quotes they use, the quotes they don't use. So now we're going to trust ABC, the Washington Post, Fact Check, and others in a conglomerate through the gatekeeper Facebook to tell us what is and what is not really happening? Look, they're dying to silence talk radio, and it doesn't look like fairness doctrine's on the way anytime soon. So now they're going to go after social media. They've already tried to sell the ownership with a censorship of the internet. Let me tell you something. This is more than just a holiday plug. You, like never before in the new year, better realize you need the Michael Savage newsletter. You're going to need it in the new year. If you want to know what's really happening, what it really means, what's really coming next, don't forget to start your 2017, if you haven't already, by getting the Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com. All right, shameless plug. From me, a fan, to Michael, wherever he is. All right, let's get back to Michelle Obama. She'll make her bigger appearance with Oprah Winfrey tonight. There are some things I want you to know. First and foremost, I'm a Christian. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to bust up your gay wedding. That doesn't mean that I'm going to come and harass a mosque. It just means that I believe Jesus is who he said he was. And I spend every day of my life living by his example, his teachings, and his commands. I'm most likely to invade and feed somebody hungry, clothe somebody naked. Trust me, I know you've been told a lot of stories about us. We're really harmless. All right, so I'm first and foremost a Christian. Then I'm a husband. Why am I a husband second? Because unless I'm being conformed into the likeness of God by way of his Holy Spirit and Scripture, I'm not going to be a very good husband. Why am I a father third? Because I know ultimately my kids, I can do nothing greater for them but love their mother. And then after that, I'm an American. And I don't know how far down the list you go, and they may have lost me, by the way, this election cycle. In Tennessee, we don't have to declare our party. If we did, I'd probably be an independent. I think the Republican Party, if they would live their platform, they'd be fine, but they rarely do. My point is, there is nothing that could happen on an election day. Now, it could have a directional influence on the nation I live in, and in some ways, forever or irreparably, but it never, no man on earth has access to my hope. No circumstance that can happen has access to my hope. Jesus is gone. They can't find his body. We believe he's at the right hand of the Father, and he will return, and my eternal life has begun. I live in a country with a constitution. I live in a country that believes in we the people. I live in a country whose intent was self-governance, small government, sincere, responsible, self-governed citizens. No election, and I've had some disappointing ones, have ever had the power to rob my hope. I mean, I want you to realize what you're hearing in your ears here. This is the First Lady of the United States telling Oprah Winfrey she's lost all hope. That must be her God that's leaving that building, not just her husband. You might want to catch the smirky tick, too, by the way, that comes between each line. As she, in all of her dripping elitism and disdain, is laughing at us. But here's Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is Michelle Obama, her first quote in the Oprah Winfrey interview.
Now we're feeling what not having hope feels like. You know, hope is necessary. It's a necessary concept. And Barack didn't just talk about hope because he thought it was just a nice slogan to get votes. I mean, he and I and so many believe that what else do you have if you don't have hope?
Yeah.
What do you give your kids if you can't give them hope?
She's literally bankrupt. She has no hope. Now, some of this is irrational, this notion. Listen, abortion's going to be legal, and it's going to be on demand. And even if you make them look at an ultrasound, even if you make them wait 48 hours, even if you institute some of the laws like they just did in Ohio after 20 weeks of ban, it's still going to happen. There was no reason for George Stephanopoulos' daughter to be screaming the morning after the election, "Oh my God, how am I going to have an abortion?" Kid hasn't even had her first kiss, but what a strange ambition. That was all my dream was to play for the Chicago Cubs. Apparently, the Stephanopoulos girls, their dream is an abortion. I mean, it's crazy. It's insanity. But what is the hope she has lost? That we won't be $30 trillion in debt? That we can't get another few million out of the workforce? Another 10 million underemployed? By the way, I'm sure Michael has taught you about that. The unemployment number is one of the most worthless numbers in America today. It's like walking into a car lot and saying, "Hey, I don't care what you give me for my trade-in. I don't care what you charge me for this car. Just make my payment $500. They're in the back room, eating pizza, cracking up, sending you to the financial moon. sure your payment's $500 a month, but you got low dollar on your trade-in, you pay top dollar for your car, and we're financing over $87,000 a month. What's killing America is underemployment. People that were once making $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. That's a whole different level of taxation. That's a whole different level of expendable income that makes businesses grow and expand and hire. They're now making an hourly wage. Obama has killed employment, built uncertainty, a killer to the economy and those that hire, created underemployment, unemployment, doubling the food stamps, entitlement programs, doubling the debt. What is the hope she's lost? And how does she know the future already? It reveals that she has no hope in the Constitution. She has no hope and trust in we the people. She has no God outside of her husband or her ideology. No hope in capitalism. No hope in law and order. No hope in security. Her only hope is in the ideology of her husband and Hillary, as she would have continued it, regardless how 72% of America thought we were heading the wrong direction. Outside of their political vision of globalism, weakness, centralized government, redistribution of all, they have no hope. Now, you love this second quote. She doesn't realize it, but her husband's the hit in our head. Play it.
Our children respond to crises the way they see us respond. You know, it's like the toddler that bumps his head on the table, and they look up at you to figure out whether it hurts. And if you're like, oh, my God, they're crying. But if you're like, you know what, babe, it's okay. It's okay. And I feel that way about the nation. I feel that Barack has been that for the nation in ways that people will come to appreciate. Having a grown-up in the White House who can say to you in times of crisis and turmoil, hey, it's going to be okay.
You get the feeling these people have lost sight of what the office is versus who they are. Boy, they think highly of themselves, don't they? They think without Barack Obama there, we won't be able to make sense of anything. We won't know anything's ours. You know, when she started that quote, I thought, oh, good, she's going to come to her senses. Because we got a lot of young kids acting hysterically. And every time they do, you know, it's like when the George Stephanopoulos story came out with his daughter. His wife reveals it all on The View. That was an indictment of their parenthood. If a 10-year-old kid wakes up the morning after the election and thinks the world has come to an end, where did they get that, if not from their parents? For Barack and Michelle Obama, there is no hope outside of them and their ideology, their radical ideology. That's what she's revealing. What a rebukable, frightening, insane notion. And she really believes it. Listen, it's often been kicked around by many. The liberalism is a mental disorder. Progressivism is an anarchist movement of destruction. But that liberalism is a mental illness. They really are irrational. I've often said, there's some of that. It's also a spiritual disorder. They have given a throne to something that was never entitled to a throne. They have given access to have their hope robbed. By the way, I have so many other stories today that point to the same thing. Do you know that the Democratic women, not even liberal, Democratic women are three times as likely to unfriend you on Facebook? See, in the name of tolerance, they're the most intolerant on earth. America did not, 72% of America thought we were heading in the wrong direction. Do you know when I knew Donald Trump was going to be president of the United States? When the exit polling information was released at 5 o'clock Central Time. And I saw that there were some 62 to 64% of Americans in exit polling that didn't like either Trump or Hillary. And let's face it, they're both flawed individuals. One happens to be more flawed than the other. But when I heard the statistic that 62 to 64% didn't like either, and they broke 80% to Donald Trump, I said, it's over. I gave Donald Trump up until that point a 13% chance of becoming president. And thank God I was wrong. I was never more happy to be wrong in my life. And it was one of the most pleasant surprises. And I don't gloat, and I understand what it's like to lose. But my goodness, it is December 19th. And they're not only not over it, there's these anarchist daily movements. I mean, has anybody ever kept track of all the excuses so far? It's mind-boggling. Ah, the media gave too much exposure to Trump. Ah, the Russians hacked. Never mind what they revealed, but they hacked. I mean, they've had a different excuse to blame every day. What you had was a flawed candidate. What you had is a movement in America that we were in the wrong direction, and we needed to go in the opposite direction. And because they, and we know this through the WikiLeaks, because they shafted their outside candidate and dictated the outcome of their primary, they probably created the disgruntled Bernie Sanders lovers that did leak this stuff, not Russia. And they fixed their primary to have an establishment party candidate and a flawed one at that. And then here comes Donald Trump, the outside candidate, and the proclivity for that movement. It's the 72% that thought we were heading in the wrong direction that was the bump in the head. And I got news for you. She can do these interviews with Oprah Winfrey all she wants. And Hollywood can protest, and anarchists can rally. But for the majority of America, Donald Trump won, explainably. Today, all the electors cast their votes. They'll be certified January 6th, and he's going to take the oath of office January 20th. And you know, as well as I do, this nonsense is just beginning. But I'm asking you a question at 855-400-SAVAGE. What does this say about Michelle Obama? What does this say about the Obamas? Listen, I would have been very disappointed if Hillary Clinton won, because I would have seen us going in the same wrong direction of open borders, of cultural chaos. I mean, we can't even figure out where to go to the bathroom. More government, more debt, more entitlements, more weakness and vulnerability to attack. But I'd have never lost my hope. Because it was never in a man, it was never in a woman, it was never in a party. It has always been in our constitutional republic, we the people, God, family, country. I mean, what does it say that Michelle Obama is going to tell Oprah Winfrey tonight she's lost all hope? And let me tell you something, she means it. So we have a Russian ambassador assassinated in Turkey. What might come of that? The electoral votes cast, and without any big surprises, it was much to do about nothing, although we will hear from one of them who did not cast his vote for Donald Trump. And now you got Michelle Obama going on Oprah. She's lost all hope. Her husband's leaving. My goodness, when we bump our head, who will we turn to? You, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Never too late to give the gift of understanding for Christmas. How about one of Michael's great books, New York bestsellers, Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama, and of course the wonderful story. This one meant a lot to me. I had a bulldog, Joey, that made a huge impact on my life. But Michael telling the story of Teddy and me, any one of those books, always a great gift for a fan of the Savage Nation. Hope you'll consider doing that at Savage. MichaelSavage.com. All right, no sooner are we kind of just setting up Michelle Obama's interview with Oprah, the assassination of a Russian ambassador in Turkey, the electors being counted, then we get the breaking news of our peace-loving Muslim friends not playing well with others, this time in Berlin, using a large truck to plow through a crowd where several have been killed and over 50 injured. This is a developing story. We'll have more when we continue. Next on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. We'll be right back. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. I am Michael Del Giorno, filling in for Dr. Savage. Don't forget to get the latest headlines and sign up for the Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com. As I mentioned at the opening of last hour, and for those of you that are just joining us, I'm a talk show host at WTN in Nashville, Tennessee. I, as a program director, was one of the first affiliates to bring Michael Savage on board. He was an integral part of our radio station. I've been a fan for decades, and it is truly an absolute honor to fill in for Michael. We do have breaking news. Apparently a large truck plowed through a Christmas market in Berlin, and we're now getting an update that, and this could obviously grow, but that 9 have been killed and over 50 injured in what appears to be a deadly terror attack. Now, as often is the case in our nation and around the world when things like this happen, we all pretend that that ISIS doesn't exist, that they haven't made crystal clear in their magazine that they wanted people to target holiday gatherings. They did this in Nice, and they want people to do it in large cities. And so this clearly has all the fingerprints of fundamental Islam by way of ISIS. And we will continue to follow that story as it develops. Other things, we had a Russian ambassador. His name is Andrei Karlov. He was assassinated by a police officer in Turkey while at a museum. The gunman began shooting him after, and we have the actual audio of that. We played it earlier. After shooting him, he started screaming out in a loud voice in Arabic, "Aleppo revenge, Allah Akbar, God is great." This, too, has all the signatures of the rebel group al-Nusra. This has a lot to do with Sunni and Shia sectarian strife. As you know, Russia has been a supporter of Syria and of Iran, and with the humanitarian crisis and the loss of the territory in Syria, this appears to be a terrorist attack in retaliation. So we're continuing to follow that story. Then we have the Michelle Obama big interview, which is coming up tonight with Oprah Winfrey heading into office. Can't remember exactly when she said it, if it was right before he got elected, but she had the famous quote that she's for the first time proud to be an American. Now she bookends it on her way out the door with she's feeling a loss of hope. And that loss of hope is the direction her husband took us in. It will now end, and a new direction will begin. So what turned out to be the will of 72% of the American people who thought we were heading in the wrong direction is a loss of hope for Michelle Obama. And then, of course, we have the Electoral College poised, if it hasn't already. They've been gathering at state capitals across the nation today to make official and cast their electoral votes to officially make Donald Trump, I say officially, to cast their votes to make him the 45th president-elect. That will be certified on January 6th and executed in an inaugural oath of office and speech on January 20th. For many people, you know, this has just been kind of a formality. I think there is, before I get to calls, one bright spot in all of this. It has been a strange election year. And there certainly are a lot of whiny, spoiled people, although I try to warn my audience, and I think Michael would agree, that there's a root to all of this. You know, one of the two biggest word studies I ever did that changed my life was the difference between react and respond. React reacts. Some of the biggest mistakes you make in your life to circumstances are reactions. Responds, different. You're prepared. You know what's coming. And then when it happens, you respond. That's how you survive. It's powerful. And there's a big difference between envy and jealousy. Jealousy is, I like Jim's car. It's better than mine. Oh, I like your house. It's nicer than mine. Wish I had that boat. Envy is, you have something and it belongs to me. You stole it. And if I can't have it, you can't have it, and it destroys it for both. That's really at the root of this ideology we're seeing from the far left. And that's why the American people spoke, the election happened, and like they're going through the seven stages of grief. Denial. I'll never forget on election night, we did a live broadcast. Now, we're getting our information directly from the Secretary of State offices. We would project a state for Donald Trump, and do you know the networks, as if they have some kind of constitutional authority, would refuse to acknowledge that state, having been won by Donald Trump, for in some cases, in CNN's case, 2 hours later. And then we all waited till 2:30 in the morning for Hillary to have a nervous breakdown or physically be well enough. I still don't know what happened. I don't think anybody knows what happened that night. Panetta comes out, too close to call. We think there's going to be a legal shenanigan. Go home. And then Hillary calls Trump, and it's over. We literally had to wait till 2:30 in the morning for the media to come to grips with their denial that Donald Trump was the president-elect. And it has continued since. I'm going to give out an award to Charlie Sheen here coming up in just a few minutes. But I just suspect in all of these top stories, have you ever played that game? It's a dangerous game. Don't ever play it. Oh, life will begin when I get to high school. Oh, no, you don't understand. Life will begin when I graduate high school and I get to college. No, you don't understand. Life's going to begin when I graduate college and I finally get my job. No, you don't understand. Life's going to begin when I finally get married or when I finally have kids or when I finally get... You know what happens? Life never begins. But like you, I have said to myself daily, come on, it's got to be over, right? Wasn't over when he was elected. They tried all the shenanigans today for the Electoral College formality. Pretty much goes without a hitch. We have one loser today from Texas who held his ground. And soon it'll be certified in Washington, D.C. And we just hope and pray it's behind us. These are the things that are affecting America and the world and the entire Savage Nation. Love to have you join us at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Let's go to line two and Donna, listening on WABC in New York.
Hi.
What's up, Donna?
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Very sad to hear about the Russian ambassador. And then, in addition, the same thing in Berlin. And, of course, the left is going to spin it six ways to Sunday. They'll cover up that it's radical Islamic terrorism. Same playbook, same attacks. And it goes on. It never ends.
Yeah, and you know, Donna, thanks for the call. That's the power of political correctness, right? You see, our comments, it's funny, I brought up the wife of George Stephanopoulos, and her name escapes me right now, on The View, talking about her daughter waking up the morning after the election, completely beside herself, distraught. Trump had won. Oh my God, there's going to be no abortions! And I thought, what an odd thing for a child to say. And I was half joking earlier when I said, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a Chicago Cub. That was hope. Whose aspiration at 12 years old is, oh my God, I want to have an abortion someday? I just thought that was the oddest, most irrational thing. But people forget what she said right before that. She said, oh, my kids don't know anything about ISIS. But they knew a lot about this. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of parenting is that? So your kids know everything there is about transgenderism. They know everything there is about abortion. They know everything there is about open borders. They know everything there is about multiculturalism and celebrating every culture but our own, every intent but our own. Now, why does it strike me that way? Because ISIS is a real threat. Now, your president told you, Bin Laden's dead, Al-Qaeda's decimated, the war is over, ISIS is a JV. That child irrationally fears a Trump presidency. She's more fearful of us in a sovereign nation of a secured border, in a sovereign nation of law and order and laws being enforced. She's more fearful of true tolerance, not new tolerance. True tolerance is, okay, you're Muslim, we believe in religious freedom. If you're a peace-loving Muslim, I'll tolerate you. If your intent is to overthrow my constitution, my civilization, and our nation's way of life, I will not tolerate you. And if your inclination is to kill innocent people in the name of obedience to your religion, I will not tolerate that either. In other words, I will tolerate, but I will not validate. So the average person knows, if they do any kind of study, well, wait a minute. Muhammad lived. The narrative is that this is a peaceful, wonderful, tolerant religion that has been hijacked by a few false prophets. Well, Bin Laden's a false prophet? Is that what we're selling now? ISIS is a false prophet? Tell me, what is Boko Haram, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, ISIS, or any of these others, al-Nusra, what are they doing that Muhammad didn't do? How do you get hijacked by your own prophet? Now, if a Christian, and they've tried this with lame Timothy McVeigh arguments, if a Christian goes out and kills somebody, first of all, they don't ever claim to do it in the name of Christ, but if they happen to be a Christian, we like to crucify that. They're not following the example of Jesus. They're not following the teachings of God. Or the commands. Now, may I say, my founding fathers never required me, nor does my heavenly father through scripture ever require me to validate all gods and no gods and all behaviors. Tolerate, yes. See, that's not what they want. New tolerance is different. New tolerance demands that you not just accept it, but that you praise it, that you validate it, that you hold it in higher regard than your own. Or you're a bigot, you're a hate monger. That's why I said in the opening segment, I want you to know, everybody is going to turn to, well, what's Russia going to do? First of all, why did this happen? Well, because Russia sides with Syria and Assad and the Supreme Ayatollah and Iran. I mean, I hope you realize America's in a bit of a proxy war here. In a war that is in the middle of a regional sectarian war between Sunnis and Shias. Who do you think in that needle in a haystack fighting against and fighting for an overthrow in Syria is? Sunnis. So there's no question, I mean, I can't prove it to you yet. I don't know who this officer is. I can't tell you that he was Sunni. I can tell you it's probably not a coincidence that this is right after they've been having protests because of Russia's support for Syria and what's happening in Aleppo as the Syrian fighters are losing control of territory. And it looks like Syrian Assad is going to hold Syria. And Russia has been certainly supportive of Syria and Iran. So it looks like a Sunni worshiping God and in an act of devotion killed a Russian ambassador on Turkish soil. So you are right to say, first and foremost, whew, my goodness, what if he goes into Turkey? To me, that's why I think politically in all of this, the one thing on the Savage Nation that I think, and I can't channel Michael Savage, but I think if he were on the air today, he'd be saying to you, what a difference Friday and today are. What a difference. Friday, the Chinese think they own all waters. Pull up a little craft to one of our military ships and take one of our drones. Do you know what's tragic? Nobody went into the weekend saying, I wonder what Obama's going to do to China. Even when Obama was trying to make a big deal out of the hacking in Russia and said, I'm going to retaliate. Now, he can't give you a lick of proof that Putin gave the order and Russia did the hacking. And nobody hacked and changed the outcome of the election. It just revealed things that they really did. The hackers had to do the jobs of the hack journalists who don't do theirs. But nobody took seriously what he's going to do to Russia, and nobody spent the weekend wondering, what are we going to do to China? And you know what everybody's thinking today? A Russian ambassador assassinated on Turkish soil? Duck! Might say a little bit more about Vladimir Putin. But there is an opportunity here, if we had the right leader already in place, to find common ground with Russia. If there's any hope of having strong relations with Russia in the future and not adversarial, there would be an opportunity to see some common ground in this. And talk some sense in the taking sides in a religion that is clearly very violent. Get to the rest of your calls in a moment. We've got to take the break. I won't be late twice in a row. It's 3:20. The phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE. I am Michael DelGiorno, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or swissamerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation. I am Michael DelGiorno from Nashville, Tennessee, filling in for Dr. Savage. Get the latest headlines and sign up for the Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com, and it's an honor to be filling in. We're getting more information out of Germany, where officials now apparently are admitting they were warned. Of course, we've all been warned. ISIS issued in their magazine. They were calling on Muslims, wherever they're at, stop coming here, stay at home, or return to your home nation, and use large vehicles, much like they did in Nice, and attack people during holiday gatherings. And that's exactly, frankly, what happened on the Ohio State campus to some degree. Don't forget, he started driving into the crowd of people. Then he got out of the car with his knife. And what he didn't expect was one of the officers, university campus police, to have been called to that area over a gas leak, and he got popped within 60 seconds. Well, that wasn't the case in Germany, where officials say they were warned that a terrorist was planning an attack on Christmas markets, as ISIS has made clear on the internet. Just weeks before the horrific attack in Berlin, at least 9 people have now been confirmed killed after a large truck plowed into a festival market in Germany, injuring 50 others. It is said it had credible information that Islamic State, or as Obama would say, ISIL, and Al-Qaeda were planning attacks and focusing on the upcoming holiday season. It specifically warned American travelers to exercise caution at holiday festivals, events, and outdoor markets. Now, if you report any of that, you're, of course, Islamophobic. You know, all these people, the day before they commit a horrific attack, are the very people that are victims, the very people that you're not to be looking at with a frosty stare or making to feel uncomfortable. So America, like Germany, is always saying, be vigilant, be vigilant. But nothing ever happens of it. That's why they're putting together everything in their garages and nobody says anything. You know, don't forget, before you get too critical of Germany, Mateen in Orlando, he had been investigated for connections to terrorism by the FBI from 2013 through 2014, placed in the terrorist screening database, but was subsequently removed. And then when the gun store, when he was buying all his guns and ammunition, called, they still allowed. This is where political correctness trumps common sense and security. And it's happened again in Germany. Now, this will be interesting to see. They've been trying to ban the Quran in certain radical Islamist groups or Islamism in Germany because they made a bed they don't want to sleep in. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out now after this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now.
It's the Savage Nation. I am Michael DelGiorno from Nashville, Tennessee, filling in for Dr. Savage, who I hope and pray is resting and recharging, though I know him too well to assume that. Don't forget to get the latest headlines and sign up for the Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com. It is, you know, tell you a funny story. One time I was going to Los Angeles to do a radio show, and I just don't get intimidated by anything, and hadn't really thought about the hundreds and hundreds of thousands or million listeners. And I've filled in for other national shows. I don't really think about that. But somebody on the plane said to me, wow, you know, I hear Johnny Carson listen to that radio station. And that's when I stopped dead in my tracks and my palms started sweating. And so I was joking with Jimmy and some of the other producers. I really don't think about the 200 million listeners nationwide. And today isn't about me. It's about Michael and his nation and his audience. And the world goes on. There's things to understand today. But I was more concerned about the audience of one, him, listening, than I was the millions of you. For the millions of you, I'm just happy to be in the same nation as you, and I'm Michael's house. Alan from WFNC on the Obama Myth of Hope. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I was telling the call screener that I remember that in 2000, well, first of all, I keep up with what's going on in international relations. I'm retired Army. My father was in the had a fourth grade education, and thanks to a businessman, I was able to go through 2 years of college, work through two more. I've got a master's in speak 4 languages, but I say that as a prequel to in 2009, after President Obama was inaugurated, I remember seeing an advertisement by Franklin Mint of an Obama doll. And the doll was wearing a shirt that said, The Birth of Hope, January 20th, 2009. And the thought that went through my mind at that time was, that is so stupid, because The Birth of Hope was at least in July 4th, 1776. But as I said, for me, coming out of poverty and, you know, thanks to a wealthy businessman and providing the, you know, 2 years of college for me and through working hard, I was able to improve my station in life. And I think that that the narrative that is being repeated now, that there seems to be no hope, I think that's all it is. It's just a narrative, and they start saying that among themselves and publicly. And
do you notice, Alan, do you notice they never elaborate, right? What is the loss of hope? Is Barack Obama the hope? You know, is abortion the hope? Is open borders the hope? Is debt the boat? The hope, a centralized government, the hope? What is the hope that we're losing? The country thought we were heading in the wrong direction, decided to go in a different direction. We've been down this road several times, but you're right. I will say, Alan, thanks for the call. I will say this. I think hope arrived in a holiday we're going to celebrate. It probably wasn't in December, but for me, spiritually, the hope arrived in the birth of Christ, that we had a second opportunity to have fellowship with God, that the righteousness of one could make me in right standing and back in fellowship with God for now and eternity. That's that hope. The political hope, though, you're right. That was born July 4th, 1776, in the forming of this nation, founded in life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. I don't think the Obamas shared that hope. Michelle Obama says she's lost all hope. Why? Because her husband's leaving. Now, again, I give outgoing presidents and their wives and their cabinet members a little time, and I give them a little grace to shape their legacy. It's really not in their control. America is going to have to ask itself, historians will ask the question, was America safer? Did the world respect us more? Was the world a more peaceful place where war was far less likely because of Barack Obama? History's not going to be kind to Barack Obama. He clearly left Iraq too soon. He did it for political reasons and by a calendar date and before conditions on the ground would allow. And it created a vacuum, and a vacuum that was filled by the latest version of Al-Qaeda. And the same genocide, sectarian stripe, you know, the worst of what could have happened hasn't yet, and that is Iran swoop in and make them a satellite nation. It's going to look at what happened in Egypt and what Obama called, change and an uprising of democracy, and see it as nothing as turning your back on an ally. He wasn't perfect, but turning your back on Mubarak, fanning the flames of the Muslim Brotherhood, going from being banned and imprisoned to in control. America's going to frown. They're going to look at Gaddafi. He was no Boy Scout by any stretch of the imagination, but he was complying in the war on terror. And that removal created another vacuum that was filled. And the place was crawling with Al-Qaeda when they were trying to give us a cover story. So the world doesn't respect us more, if that was hope. Talking to enemies didn't work. Iran got its deal and its money. We even did a little exchange for a deserter and gave them some of the most dangerous terrorists at Guantanamo Bay, but they're not complying. Obamacare couldn't have been the hope. It's already failed. I mean, that's just a numbers game. That's a bunch of people in politics for political reasons creating something they knew nothing about. It's an actuarial failure. Unemployment, underemployment, those that have left the workforce and without hope, not even attempting to get a job. I mean, seriously. But you have to understand from their perspective, they've abandoned God. They're in rebellion against God. They don't believe in our Judeo-Christian values or the rules for them beliefs. They have made this ideology their God. And it may have started in spiritual pluralism. It may have been moral relativism. But this is their God. And it's been removed from every throne. They can't control the Supreme Court, one of the three branches of government. They've lost the executive branch. Now, Hillary represented a continuation of the direction. See, they can't even come to terms with, wait a minute, 72% of America thought we were going in the wrong direction. Well, of course they went with the outsider. Of course they went with the non-establishment candidate. Of course they went with a different direction. They can't come to terms with that, nor can the media. Because this is their loss, too. They were supposed to be able to manipulate you into doing whatever they wanted you to do, and you didn't listen. How dare you? By the way, thanks for your service to our country and to my family. Let's go to, I'm trying to be fair, we got a lot of WABCs here. Jim from WFNC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, it's nice to talk to you.
When I was listening to your program, I realized that Michelle Obama is repeating exactly the same thing that she did when her husband was elected, okay? She's coming out with nonsensical statements, I'm so proud to finally be an American, and things like that, okay? And mm-hmm. It's interesting to me to note that this is the first time that I've ever seen a first lady honored so on a television program at the exiting of the White House. I was wondering why it was never done for a previous first lady, okay? And the other thing that I'm wondering about is, and I watched a program last night on 60 Minutes, a segment about what's going on in Syria as far as the white helmets and rescuing these people that have been buried alive as a result of the Assad administration and coupling with the Russian activities. And I was wondering, would this have happened under President Reagan or George W. Bush or George Herbert Walker Bush or even Kennedy? Would it have happened, or would we have been in a better position to render assistance to those poor people in Syria who are being decimated by a man who is actually out to kill everyone who is opposed to him?
Well, I think you're addressing all the failures of Barack Obama, right? I mean, you know, it's funny how critical, and again, listen, I understand politicians are men, and men are whether they're men or women, they're flawed. They're human. But everybody's very critical about Donald Trump. And there are things Donald Trump says I wish he wouldn't say. There are things he talks about I wish he could explain it as well as his son in many cases. But this is the failure of Barack Obama to, A, explain this. Look at he's going out of office focused on something he can't prove, Russian involvement in election, rather than addressing Syria and Assad. But it's this president that drew the line and then backed away. Appeasement always emboldens an aggressor. An aggressor always sniffs out and smells weakness. And China smells it, Russia smells it. Al-Qaeda, ISIS smells it at times. They get this, and that's why they push it. Now, in the case of, to some degree, you could make a case. I think Nancy Reagan, probably close. I don't think, well, maybe Barbara Bush close, but I mean, probably the last person to be as popular as Michelle Obama compared to her husband, anyway. I mean, don't forget, Michelle Obama and Joe Biden is all this party has. That's their future. That and an ideology that failed for 8 years. I guess they would make the case that Michelle Obama is that popular that they will make this exception and have this interview. Why Oprah sat down with her, and it could even be a make good for how they had to distance themselves from Oprah. So they're going to give her this exclusive. I don't know. What is shocking to me is that a first lady leaving office can't make a case for her husband's legacy, and then turns around and tells the American people, with him leaving, we have no compass or source of hope. And that's the two comments she made. We're feeling that, we know what that feeling is now of not having any hope. You know, hope is necessary. It's a necessary concept. And Barack didn't just talk about it, you know, as a nice slogan to get votes. Yeah, he did. I mean, he and I and so many others believe that if you, you know, I mean, what else do you have if you don't have hope? What do you give your kids if you can't give them hope? That's it. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Barack Obama. That's it. They have no hope because he's not in office. Listen to this sick quote. Our children respond to crises the way they see us respond. That's why we have adults acting like children and children echoing it. It's like the toddler that bumps his head on the table. And they look up at you to figure out whether it hurts. Now I have kids, they do that. And if you go, oh my gosh, you okay? They'll start crying. If you go, you're all right, they won't cry. She's saying Barack Obama's that compass. And if he's not in the White House, everything isn't all right, and we don't know what's all right. They actually believe their hope is gone. And the point I was trying to make to you is, they don't have any hope in God. They don't have any hope in our Constitution. They don't have any hope and confidence in we the people. Or capitalism, as you expressed, or law and order, or national security. It's Barack and what Hillary represented continuing his direction that 62% of the American people thought was the wrong direction. But outside of their political vision of globalism, their
vision of weakness, their vision of large, big, centralized government being the answer for everything, the great entitlement provider, the great slave master, quite frankly, and the picker of winners and losers in redistribution of wealth. Without all that, they don't have hope. They just lost the Supreme Court. They lost the White House. They lost every cabinet position. They don't control the House or the Senate. Let me tell you something. They have made their God their leftist ideology, along with the power, and it's all been removed from the throne. You know what's the scariest thing? I'm not making fun of the statement she made. It's a perfect bookend. Her husband, on the verge of being elected, was the first time she was proud to be an American. Obviously, if he's leaving, she's lost all hope. And I'm just telling you, there's no man, there is no elected official that has the power to steal my hope. It's very, very revealing. And what I hope doesn't get lost is she really has lost her hope, and so have others. Real quickly, Barry at WABC on Obama and hope.
Yes,
Hey, Barry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I completely agree with our soon-to-be outgoing first lady that hope is important. The point she missed is that's why they're being thrown, the liberals are being thrown out of office. You know, by every metric you can come up with, we're far worse than we were 8 years ago. So why is she so arrogant to think hope is walking out the door when her husband leaves the White House? A friend of mine said today, you know, the people that are unemployed, the hundreds of thousands of people that can't find work, they probably want a job, not the hope that maybe they'll get a job. And I thought that was pretty profound. Simple, but profound.
Hey, Barry, you get it. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. Listen, I'm witnessing more hope than I have seen, and I can go back a term of George Bush in maybe 12 years. There are people that are hopeful that because he's not a Republican, your typical establishment Republican, that Donald Trump will lead as he campaigned to lead and will do these things, and we hope and pray he does. But if our sovereign nation has borders that are secure and laws that are enforced and returns to strength through power, which makes war less likely to happen, and everybody misbehaving on the world stage to start behaving, I think that gives us more hope. That's why I said the first part of her answer is so important, if we could play it for you, if we can go back and find it. Because she couldn't make the case for how her husband delivered hope. But she's lost it nonetheless on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It is the Savage Nation. I am Michael Del Giorno from Music City, USA in Nashville, filling in for Dr. Savage. Don't forget to get the latest headlines and sign up for the Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com. And it is the week before Christmas. And if you're scratching your head and looking for ideas to give that special fan of the Savage Nation the perfect gift, how about Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama? That's the New York best-selling book by Dr. Savage. And then, for pet lovers, on your list, Teddy and Me, just a beautiful, intimate story of a boy and his dog, Michael and his dog, Teddy. Teddy and Me, or Scorched Earth, or any of the great books by Michael Savage always make great gifts, and you can check them all out at michaelsavage.com. All right, here's what we're working. Michael may be off, but the world is still turning, and peace-loving Muslims have not played well with others in the sand again, this time in Germany, where we've had a terrorist attack. Truck plowing into a crowd during a holiday celebration, killing 9 and 50 being injured. Don't forget, there's been controversy in Germany with all of the refugees and with all of the cultural chaos and calamity. They have even sought to ban certain groups giving out Qurans. I mean, they've made this bed, and they're having a hard time sleeping in it, and this is not going to make that situation any better. Also, we had a Russian ambassador in Turkey assassinated, the Islamic killer yelling Allah, Aleppo revenge and Allah Akbar. I mean, clearly, radical Islam and terrorism is the motivation there. And Michelle Obama to appear on Oprah Winfrey tonight, the Electoral College making official Donald Trump is the next president. We're talking all about that with you on the Savage Nation next.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I am Michael Del Giorno, not Michael Savage, and I've never, and as I said at the open of the first 2 hours, it is my distinct honor to fill in for Dr. Savage today. He has always been a passionate voice, an unapologetic, courageous voice of truth. What I love about Michael Savage, he always goes beyond the symptom to the cause of the disease. And it seems to me, I am a member of the Savage Nation, and I am honored to be with you and have this time together. Now, you can always get the latest headlines. Sign up for the Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com. And those headlines today would dictate that we've had a terrorist attack in Germany that has killed 9 and 50 others. Another in devotion. You guys need to get this. They're following the example of the Prophet Muhammad and the calls in the Quran and the commands in the Quran to carry out these kinds of terrorist attack, this time in Germany, just as ISIS described and commanded them to do, use a large vehicle, plow through a large crowd at a holiday gathering. They've done it in Germany. They've killed 9 and injured 5 others. Michelle Obama will have her interview with Oprah Winfrey and explain to all of you how her husband achieved hope and change and how his leaving exits all hope. And so she bookends with going almost into office with first time she's been proud to be an American. She bookends it at the end, leaving with she has lost all hope. Then we have a Russian ambassador to Turkey assassinated, a police officer in Turkey assassinates the Russian ambassador while at an art museum, yelling Allah Akbar and Aleppo revenge. I think the motive is pretty clear. This is a Sunni that does not like Russia's support of Shia-controlled Syria and Iran. And, you know, as I said, nobody went into the weekend this weekend thinking, oh my gosh, what is Barack Obama going to do? China just pulled up to one of our vessels, took one of our drones. There's going to be hell to pay. Nobody said a word because they know Barack Obama. But what is on everyone's mind? What the heck is Vladimir Putin going to do? So a Turkish member of law enforcement carries out a terrorist attack and guns down a Russian ambassador on Turkish soil over Russian support of Syria. And everybody's wondering, now what's coming? And will be directed towards Turkey. Now, what do I suspect? Well, as you know, Russia is very supportive of the Shia-controlled Assad regime in Syria, as well as the Shia-controlled, under the thumb of the Ayatollah and the Revolutionary Guard, Iran. And this will have a proclivity to further that alliance, which is not good for a regional war or the proclivity of a world war. But if the right leader were in office, I know Michael shares a vision that the United States and Russia can and should get along. With the right leader in office, this could have been an opportunity. I doubt that's going to happen with Barack Obama. Listen, you want my honest truth? Barack Obama's response to this story would be guns. If a U.S. ambassador got killed somewhere on soil, he would never acknowledge Islam. He would never acknowledge the example of the Prophet, the teachings of the Quran, the spirit of the Hadith, the Sunnah, or anything else in recent or ancient history. He'd be pointing at guns. But that ain't Vladimir Putin. My advice to someone in Turkey is duck. But we'll continue to cover that. I do. By the way, it's interesting. I'm going to talk to Tim here in 1 second, as well as Carol. And after I do, I want to share with you some of these people that are behind these protests. Now, we've seen Hollywood come forward, and I'm going to pay tribute to Martin Sheen. We've seen others come forward. Listen, this is the mainstream media. This is the leftist Hollywood elite, the academia elite, the envy,
multicultural, new tolerance, far left and progressive anarchists. This is their worst hour because they see that 72% of America thought we were heading in the wrong direction. They elected Trump. The market, everything else points to people are really excited about having a secured border. People are really excited about returning to peace through strength. You want to come to our country? We're going to vet you. You want to come to our country? You're either coming here to be like us or to change us. And if it's change us, stay the hell where you are. Listen, you know, you do need to study. I'll never forget George Stephanopoulos' wife. And by the way, I did look her name up, Allie Wentworth. She's on with The View, and she says, well, my kids know nothing about ISIS, but they know a lot about Donald Trump. And they woke up completely in despair when he won. Like, Donald Trump is a greater threat than ISIS. Tell that to the 9 dead and 50 injured in Germany. Tell that to anybody in Orlando, anybody in San Bernardino. What a level of ignorance. Everything we stand for is antithetical to the devotion of Islam. They don't believe in freedom of religion. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They don't believe in separation of church and state. They don't believe in... There's nothing. It's kind of like when we talk about these refugees. Now listen, I got news for you. Had Hillary won? Had we continued in the direction we were going? I'm sure it was just a matter of time before Michael Savage, Dr. Savage, and I met in prison. But if you wanted to give me asylum somewhere, don't send me to Tehran, Iran. They're going to notice my Bible. They're going to notice me praying. I'll be dead. That's why the solution has always been bring them somewhere in their region and protect them there. Because you're asking a Muslim to choose. I mean, isn't that the lesson of Nidal Hassan at Fort Hood? This guy was warning you. He was doing PowerPoint presentations for suicide bombers. Why? Because he knew you're asking our troops, Muslim troops, to choose between their devotion to their religion and eternity and the oath, military oath, of their office and duty. And something's got to give. And what gave was Nidal Hassan yelling Allah Akbar, shooting everybody. And to this day, it's workplace violence. It's not a terrorist attack. They're not here to be... The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, we kind of treat them like the NAACP now. Suddenly, they're the voice of all the victim Muslims who get a frosty stare. Not that they're getting frosty stares because of the way they're dressed or that they're Muslim. They're getting frosty stares because people keep killing people in the name of that religion. He said on American soil in 1998, Islam is not in America to be one of many religions. We're here to replace your Judeo-Christian culture with that of Islam. Replace your Bible with that of the Quran. They're either coming here to assimilate and be what we are, or they're coming here to change us. And Germany's finding out. And they made a big bed, and it's a big mess, and they're having a hard time dealing with it. And so will we. I'm going to get to these other stories in our Loser of the Day of the moment. First, a couple of quick calls because you've been waiting at 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-7282, which is where we find Tim in New York City, listening on WABC. Tim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Listen, can I just go over a few bullet points that I have here, kind of my thoughts on the situation? You're really touching on the heart of the matter in a way few people have before.
Please do.
I think,
well, I say that unless you're going to go more than 5 minutes, in which case Jimmy's going to yell at me.
2 or 3 minutes, something like that.
Perfect. Rock on.
We are in the middle of a civil war in the country, and it's a war of secular versus Christian values, the values of our founding fathers. The progressive left represents a secular humanist value. It's really anti-Christ in nature. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of confusion in the world, as we see. I think our nation, because of our activity, our immoral activity over the years, is under a form of judgment. And I think with the Trump election, we've been given a possible reprieve for a while. I also think the war on Islam is a war of ideology, and it's impossible to win with bullets. Mm-hmm. It really is a worldview war. The only way it can be won is that the peaceful Muslims, quote-unquote, disclose planned radical activities to the authorities, and that's not going to happen because of the ramifications internally to that. The other way is the power of the true Holy Spirit affects the Muslims and Christians worldwide, and that there be a revival, spiritual change. And this all leads to the importance of the Second Amendment with this Germany and France bombing in Ohio State. We need to have the right to defend ourselves against enemies, foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. And these are becoming domestic enemies. That's really truly the value of the Trump presidency to me, is if he follows through with his vote or his nomination of truly conservative constitutionalist judges. Also, the Quran is pretty clear in saying that you'll destroy the infidels or subject them to your authority, and it's the basis of all Muslim violence. The Bible is a New Testament book based upon peace and freedom of choice and love. The Quran, at its very core, is a basis of violence and subjective forced authority or subjection upon other people. And that's what we're seeing today. Nobody wants to speak the truth. Political correctness has made sure that we don't say...
Well, I'm glad you said that, because there's ignorance and apathy, and then there's political correctness along with this that creates a perfect storm. So you're so right. My faith and your faith, which is what our judicial system is based on. There's a lot of things that we're based on. We are clearly a Judeo-Christian. I think it was John Quincy Adams who said this whole constitutional republic, it's altogether wrong for an immoral people. All right, so abandoning God, his way, his truth, his life, norms of what values are and rules for values, these are significant to what we were intended to be. And we are certainly in a rebellious state right now, and we've abandoned that, which has created a void that has been filled by spiritual pluralism. That's the first lie, right? That all gods are the same, or having no God is the same as having a God. That there is no absolute truth. That's what moral relativism teaches. Well, now here comes Islam. Because a Christian, first of all, my beliefs don't make any demands on you. They make demands on me. They demand me to be submissive. They demand me to serve others. They demand me to love even those who hate me, so on and so forth. Islam makes demands on us. So I think you brought up something very, very important that in this type of a radio show, and I've got 40 seconds to go, I have to say thanks for the call. I will say this. Prophetically, I think they're going to form a caliphate, and then they are going to attack Israel, which is the epicenter of the world, and it's going to bring about something that I think God will ultimately address this once and for all, if Scripture is what we think it is, God-breathed and always right. In the meantime, history, 1,400 years of history shows us that identifying Islam, understanding the life of Muhammad is profound. Understanding the teachings of the Quran is profound. Understanding the stages of control, they populate, then they infiltrate and agitate, and then they wage war. It's like a fire. You must identify the source, and you must contain it. And you contain it by beating it down. They behave when they are held back, when they're demified and kowtowed to and validated and bowed to, as we have been doing. They become a raging fire, and things get really dangerous. So I think you get this probably more than is appropriate for us to talk about, especially when I'm a guest in someone else's home, but I do appreciate the call in New York. We'll get to Carol and my three losers of the day when we continue on the Savage Nation next.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Greetings, Savage Nation. I am Michael Del Giorno from Nashville, Tennessee, filling in for Dr. Savage. Don't forget to get the latest headlines and sign up for the Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com. As I said earlier, a great stocking stuffer and gift idea is wisdom in the new year for somebody
that is a fan of the Savage Nation. Don't forget the New York bestseller, Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama, and, of course, the tale of Dr. Savage and his faithful companion, Teddy and Me. Two great book ideas to give people this holiday season at michaelsavage.com. To San Francisco we go, and Carol, I love your Alcatraz. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and to you and yours.
I wanted to offer my interpretation of Michelle Obama's remarks about the loss of hope. And in doing so, I want to refer back to the last wonderful caller of yours who made some wonderful points. And one of the points he made was about our Second Amendment rights and our domestic enemies. In my interpretation of Mrs. Obama's remarks, she was not addressing the 62% of Americans who think we are going in the wrong direction. She was speaking for and addressing the 38% of voters, whether they be legal American voters or not, the Marxist professors on our college campuses, the flag burners, and the black supremacists, among others. She was speaking for their loss of hope in being given enough time to completely destroy this most exceptional form of government on the planet. She did not have enough time to realize her dream to do that. And that, I believe, is the loss of hope that she is speaking of.
Oh, listen, what they have, Carol, you're so smart they ought to have you fill in one time. But listen, they have nibbled away so gradually. In other words, how do you boil a frog? Put them in the water, turn it up slowly. They were so close. And now, in a single swoop, I know I'm going to get to Nick here next half hour, and this notion of how would we have felt that Hillary won? Well, I would have felt the nation was about to go a lot faster in the wrong direction, but I don't give any human being the power to rob my hope that I found in a manger and then later stood by a cross. All right, so it doesn't have that power over me. Loss of directional hope for America for a good bit of time, yes. But what you draw on is two good points. One, they lost a lot. They lost the Supreme Court for over a decade or two. They lost the executive branch of government, the legislative branch of government. And who is she speaking to? Well, look at the people that are throwing these rallies. Revolutionary Communist Party, RefuseFascism.org, executive producer of Resistance Multicultural Feminism. I mean, it's a who's who of kooks.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Well, to Jimmy and the crew back at the studio, my nickname here in Nashville is Justin. I'm always back, just in time. Sorry for the scare. I'm Michael Del Giorno on the Savage Nation, in for Dr. Savage, who my hope and prayer is resting and recharging and getting ready for a blessed holiday and a new year where we're going to need his wisdom every step of the way. I suspect he's doing anything but resting. He's posting stories, and you need to be checking out all the latest top stories and, of course, get his Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com. All right, I like to call it the losers of the day. And I want to start with our first, which is Texas elector Chris Supron. Now, Chris, of course, which, by the way, we've learned more about him. He was one that claimed to be a 9/11 responder, and it has since proven he wasn't hired until long after 9/11, so he couldn't have been at the Pentagon. But this is the guy that I call Frank the Tank. And you're probably saying, oh, where does that come from? For those of you that have ever watched the movie Old School, and it is a classic, Frank the Tank, played by Will Ferrell, gets drunk at the frat party, and he's going to lead everybody on a big old streak. And so he's out there running naked in the cold and looks behind him, and there's nobody else but him. That's Texas elector Chris Supron. And we pay tribute to him today on a day where the formality of the electors going to their state capitol, and it's really quite a beautiful ceremony if you've never been to one. I mean, the Supreme Court justice from your state is there. The ballots are passed out. I know here in Tennessee this morning they voted first on Donald Trump and then on Mike Pence as vice president. It's two separate votes, and they're turned in to the Supreme Court justice, and that is the casting of the Electoral College vote. Now, there's been, you know, a lot of criticism of the Electoral College
because people don't understand civics. You know, we rewrite history every day in motion pictures. We rewrite reality every day with media bias. We've turned to government to educate our children. They don't even teach history accurately. They don't even bother to teach civics. There's a reason why our founding fathers wanted an electoral college, because we were the United States of America, because we are a constitutional republic, not a democracy. We were never intended to be anything like mob rule. And so when you go back and you understand civics, and maybe it was never taught to you, and this should be a teachable moment, you would think. Just don't look to ABC, NBC, CBS, National Geographic, or History Channel, or anyone else to teach it to you, because they don't want you to know they're in the midst of a coup d'etat. But there's a reason why we have more members in the House of Representatives than the United States Senate, because one addresses population. And senators were originally chosen by their states, and their whole job in New York City was to make sure the states were protected. Now they see themselves as like the two old Muppets in the balcony. Then again, your founding fathers couldn't have envisioned career politicians that come at 25 and grope their way all the way to death, sucking at the teat. But that's what we were originally intended to be. Because our founding fathers weren't interested in democracy. It always ended in dictatorship or anarchy. And maybe that's why Michelle Obama is losing so much hope right now. They were so close to the anarchy, and yet so far. So here's our Frank the Tank Award. Texas elector Chris Suprin, who goes on all the national shows saying he's not going to vote rubber stamp for the Kremlin. He's gonna not do the will of the people in his district, and he's not gonna vote for Donald Trump. Now follow me, and if a 36 follow you, maybe we can create some havoc. And of course today went calmly, without a hitch. Here's Chris.
And I've gone out of my way to say to the other electors, you don't need to come out. I don't need to see you on MSNBC or CNN or your local paper saying I'm voting for someone other than Donald Trump. I'm willing to take the slings and arrows, and that's fine. I've got a great legal team. But if you're concerned about getting death threats or whether or not your electoral vote is yours or just a rubber stamp, possibly even for the Kremlin, you should contact lawyers today, right now, and make sure that your vote counts.
Isn't this guy a joke? Boy, he must take his cues right out of Islam, doesn't he? Suddenly he's the victim. Now he's the victim? Do you know the people? Listen. Do you know how electors in what is normally a formality have been treated in the last few weeks? They have gotten death threats. They have been addressed in op-ed pieces. They have had their businesses lose business in this coup d'etat attempt. Now, this guy's got the gall to say they're the victim. Oh, but don't bother coming. He's Frank the Tank. He was leading everybody in a big streak through town square. And as the day ends, he was virtually alone, without a hitch. And now we're on to certification and inauguration. Throw him out in the cold. Jimmy, show him the door.
Yeah, throw him out. Throw him out into the cold.
One of our losers of the day. The other has to be Martin Sheen. Now, we all know. Listen, Hollywood is licking their wounds just like the mainstream media. They can't believe you didn't listen to them. We tried to hide the truth. We exaggerated. We made it completely biased and one-sided. We told you you were crazy if you voted for... And you elected him. So they're licking their ego wounds. They thought they had credibility. They thought they had control over you. And you didn't listen to them. And Hollywood's the same way. So you start getting, you know, all these people that are... You ever watch Madam Secretary? Oh, my gosh, Tia Leone. She's exhausted. You know, every scene she's just exhausted. She's carrying the weight of the world. All these dub men in the show. I'm solving all the world problems. Then you have Margie. These actors who can't keep their lives together, they're really convinced that they know what they're talking about because they played these things on television. Now, I got news for you. I don't want any of these actors that play doctors on television doing any operations on me. And I don't want any of these people that played president telling me who should be the president. But a group of Hollywood actors leading an effort today to convince electors not to vote for President Donald Trump, hastily arranged a last-ditch bid. Martin Sheen was one of them. They did this big video. Now, Martin Sheen, of course, played the fictitious president, Bartlet, in The West Wing. He's featured in a personalized video designed to sway a Kansas elector. The piece is entitled, Mr. Ashley McMillan. And Sheen implores Mr. McMillan to follow the example of our American founding fathers. And I hope that you will switch the vote and not do the will of your voters and your people. And take this formality as a revolution. And become one of 37 electors required to deny Trump the president. The only problem is, it wasn't Mr. Ashley McMillan. It was a woman, Ashley McMillan. 'Throw him out in the cold!
Okay.
Martin Sheen, producer of Charlie.
The cold.
Definitely a loser of the day. Finally. Where do we begin? Well, obviously, if you're the chairman of the DNC, and remember how this stuff was revealed doesn't change what was revealed, right? I mean, that's the fact and that's the reality. Now, they revealed audio from a bus. And had Donald Trump lost, I don't think I would have ever said, well, that audio was the reason they lost. Or that it was wrong that that audio surfaced. Now, the notion and the narrative is very vague. They want you to think Putin gave the order, Russia did the hacking, and it fixed the election and it stole votes from Hillary. No. Journalism is dead. And so journalists weren't doing their jobs, so hacks did it for them. Now, I think things are far more consistent with an insider leak. Now, Julian Assange is saying, listen, we normally never comment on this thing. It's important that we protect everybody that provides us with information. And we don't rule anything out because we don't want anybody to narrow down where we get our information. We want to protect our informants. But even I will tell you, I did not get this from Russia. This was an inside leak. Now, he's got more credibility than intelligence. And intelligence, by the way, hasn't even, well, they didn't even show up to their congressional intelligence briefing and hearing. I thought that was odd. That would have been a good moment to speak some specifics. I mean, they blamed everything throughout this. And they continue to try to blame everything throughout this. They blamed the FBI director. They blamed the media. They blamed UMA. They blamed everything. It's a revolving door of blame. But it doesn't change what was revealed and the fact that it was true. And by the way, the leaks coming from inside the DNC is more consistent, frankly, because what it revealed was they had an outside candidate just like the Republicans. It was Bernie Sanders. And it was obvious they fixed the primary and shafted that group of an electorate. And they got revenge, and they revealed it. And nobody looked worse than the DNC chair, who got caught red-handed, feeding questions that were going to happen in the debate. Do we have the audio clip of our final loser of the day? Should be Donna Brazil. I think she was clip. I don't have the number. It's on a different page. I think it's clip six.
Yeah, the election was tainted by this intrusion. But there's no question that having a foreign adversary, a foe, interfere and to use hacked, stolen emails and weaponize them against the Democrats, not the Republicans, not Trump, but against Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party, the President's Party. We should be outraged by it. I know I'm still outraged by it.
As I joked with Jimmy off the air, we may have to change exhibits of giraffes at zoos, because these are bigger. Isn't that rich? This election was tainted by this intrusion. Do you know what the hack revealed? How their primary was tainted by the DNC's intrusion. Apparently it's okay when we do it inside job, but to have somebody outside reveal it, oh, that takes all, it's all off her now. She didn't do anything wrong. Listen, this is the same left that'll watch a shooter stand up, yell Allah Akbar, and start shooting people and say, we just don't know the motive yet. They're just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Never mind what she got caught red-handed doing. Wasn't that tainted with intrusion? How would you like to have been a Bernie Sanders supporter? And you find out the DNC has been rigging this whole thing through superdelegates, rigging it through feeding her the questions before debates. And it was all turned. So it's like blaming the gun in a shooting. The same gun that arrives on the scene and ends it and stamps out evil and secures good. They never see past the bad. Now, we don't do the same thing with knives, and we don't do the same thing with bats and other things that are used. She's like blaming the gun. Never mind, she was the shooter. Donna Brazile. Throw her out! Take her coat off!
Yeah, throw him out. Throw him out into the cold.
Our losers of the day. I mean, wow. Bigger than a giraffe. Closing thoughts and a couple of calls when we come back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation, and I am Michael Del Giorno, filling in for Dr. Savage, who is off today. Don't forget to get the latest headlines and sign up for the Savage newsletter at michaelsavage.com, and it has been a thrill and an honor to be with you today. And to, on behalf of Dr. Savage, be the first to tell you that it is official. Donald J. Trump will be the next president of the United States. Now, that's been the case since the November 8th election, but there is the formality. Trump won 300. I love this line. This is so biased. Trump, who won 306 electoral votes despite losing the national popular vote. Now, I know that Michael doesn't watch a lot of sports, and he might be offended by a sports analogy, but that would be like saying the Tennessee Titans defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 19-17 despite not having the most yards in the game. That's not the scoreboard, you morons. But he's got his 270. I think we're up to maybe seven defectors. In all, I don't think the list tops that. And so now, you know, for those of you that have been following this excuse list, first we blamed the media for giving him too much exposure. Then we blamed fake news and Comey and the FBI, then the Electoral College and the Russians and the hacking, and then now the electors. They didn't succumb to our death threats and the urging of our actors and actresses. You know what I just keep doing to cheer myself up? I remind myself, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton, will be the next president of the United States and take us back in a better direction. And I got to fill in for Michael Savage. Let's go to Nick, who's on the line. Nick, I want to give you and Denise the final say on the Savage Nation today. So we got about 1 minute each.
Hi.
Hey, Nick.
Hi. I want to thank you, Dr. Savage, and your station for all you do. I would like to hear more about what the tables, if the tables were turned, what it would be like, and if Hillary had won. I remember, I believe I heard Dr. Savage say that Trump was our final hope. You were talking about hope in your last hour. I agree with that. And had Hillary gotten elected, what I would have had to do to restore freedom in this country is... The liberals should be grateful that Donald Trump won, because it, I kind of use the analogy of the guy in Tiananmen Square standing up to the tank. We had the media against us and the Republicans against us and everybody.
Nick, Nick, by the way, I got to interrupt because I want to get Denise in here. I do not disagree with you or Dr. Savage, other than do not assume it's over. In other words, you still have the media against you. You still have Hollywood against you. Still every, virtually every teacher in common education and professor in higher education is going to be against our children and our values and beliefs when we send them. Would we have gone at a higher speed further in the wrong direction? Would debt have grown, dramatically? Would we have seen a further uncertainty that would have obviously affected job creation and kept wages stagnant? You bet. But we have seen what we would be like. in two elections of Barack Obama. And I don't think we've acted this crazy. Denise, we're down to like 20 seconds, but you held so long. You're a first-time GOP voter, and you actually have hope.
Oh, I have confidence. Faith and confidence in the American people and my faith in God. And I wanted to say to the listeners that not all people of color agree with Barack Obama or Michelle Obama.
And that's why...